Hello, everyone, and welcome to our brand new segment that we call While You Wait. So you might have noticed that we're in the routine of having an interview every other month that airs on Let's Talk with Scott Ellis. And we've been hearing that, you know, people want something while they're waiting for that new interview. So I thought what we would do is we would do a segment called While You Wait. And this is the first one. And what this segment is going to be about is it's going to be a little shorter than a typical full interview podcast because it's basically going to be just me. And as an audiobook narrator and fan, I thought that I would tell you about some of the really cool books that I've had the honor of narrating. So I want to start this segment with a series that I've been narrating for author Alan Lee. He's out of the Virginia area, and what a talented, talented writer. He's got many books out there, and a lot of them are in series, which I really love to do series because you get to know these characters over time, and you get to watch them grow and develop, and you can also see how the writer grows and develops. So it's really cool, and so I started narrating his series called the Mackenzie August series. And, you know, I loved it right away because those of you who know me, you know that I have a daughter named Mackenzie. And, you know, it was just very cool to be able to read a character with her name. So I'm hoping that he's going to write a, Megan August series so that we have a, a series named after our other daughter. But we'll wait patiently. But Alan Lee, if you're listening, that's what I'm looking for. So I want to start by talking about Mackenzie August. So he's got 10 books in the series, which is just a nice, long series to sink your teeth into and really get to know these characters. And then he's done a really cool thing where at least two of the characters have broken out on their own, branched out, and he's doing series for two of the characters from the Mackenzie August series. So Mackenzie August is a private eye, and the books are kind of written in that film noir style. You know, that I was sitting in my office on a Tuesday, a beautiful blonde knocked on my door. You know, that kind of style. And I certainly take that approach in the audio, but I got my cue from Alan Lee, and that's how he wrote these books. So the first one is called August Origins, and that's where we first meet Mackenzie August. We meet his buddy, we meet his father, and we meet Ronnie, his love interest, who she just plays with him in every way that you're thinking except that. And it's not because of her. It's because of him. His morals won't allow him to do that. But oh my goodness, the sexual tension that Alan Lee builds is just fantastic. And we're going to find out that Ronnie has some secrets that really keep her from committing to Mackenzie August romantically. And Alan Lee just kind of draws these secrets out of Ronnie as the series goes on, and it's really, really well done. And it's kind of the only piece that strings the series together most strongly is watching this relationship develop and wonder, are they ever going to get together, and when and how and what needs to happen first. And so that kind of brings the series together. But each book on its own is a mystery that Mackenzie August has to solve. So you meet some great, colorful characters throughout those books. So as I said, it starts off with August Origins, and then it moves into book two, which is called The Second Secret. And book three is called Flawed Players. And book four is Aces Full. And that's as far as we've gone with the narration. We haven't narrated books 5 through 10. I'm hoping at some point that Mr. Lee and I get together to finish this series because it's been very, very well rated. It's my best-selling series. I don't know if it's his best-selling series, but it certainly is mine. So I think it'd be worth finishing. We also have a book set out of the first three books. So if you are an Audible member or you just buy your audiobooks kind of a la carte, it's a really good deal to get three of these books. And they run all about 8 hours or so. So it's a really nice amount of time that you can get. And as I am recording this episode right now, I have about 50 free copies of each of those titles that I just mentioned that I can give to you for free and quite seriously, no strings attached. We would love if once you've finished listening to it, you would go back and do a review. That's really what the free codes are for, is to get some reviews. But the Mackenzie August book series, it's got 648 ratings. It's rated at a 4.6, which is really great. It's got 73% five-star ratings. And, you know, so it's just it's so well done. Great characters. I think you'd really enjoy it. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a minute and, well, not a minute. We're going to take several minutes and we'll listen to the opening 5 minutes of each of these books to give you a little bit of a feeling of what they're going to sound like. So let's get into it. Let's start with August Origins.
Chapter 1. I sat in the swivel chair in my new office and thought deep thoughts, such as, I wish the Killers released as many albums as Coldplay, and how does Apple Pay work? Also, I hoped the first client at my new office looked like Princess Leia.
Help me, Mackenzie. You're my only hope.
Perhaps I'd moved here too early. It was August, and the heat kept reaching triple digits, and my basement had been cooler. The office was on Campbell Avenue, downtown Roanoke, Virginia, second floor above a bookstore and the restaurant Metro. From my window, I could see an Orvis and a river of millennials on cell phones streaming to the local farmer's market to purchase responsibly grown broccoli, maybe some elite asparagus, to produce truly exquisite steel-cut urine, all paid for with Apple Pay. Pure sorcery. My building was 1920s classic revival and Beaux Art, built before World War II. The stairs creaked and the central air conditioning groaned, but I'd moved with certainty that clients would rush the doors with bags of cash and perhaps be a princess in distress. 30 minutes before lunch, the stairs creaked and snapped. A new client. I tried to look busy. Sheriff Stackhouse entered. I recognized the sheriff from recent campaign posters. Approximately 50 years old, brown hair showing the first streaks of silver. Excellent physique. Rumored to be a hard ass. Pretty green eyes.
Mackenzie August, she said.
Princess Leia?
Beg pardon.
I said I noticed you're not carrying bags of cash.
I'm hoping you take Apple Pay, she said.
I do not, but you may oogle my new office for free. Sheriff Stackhouse wore tight khakis which flared at her lace-up Kate Spades. Her white button-up shirt was tucked in, sleeves rolled up, collar flicked wide. Rumors were she was enhanced, surgically. I'd heard her described as good breeding wasted on public service. The sheriff was followed by a man who resembled what a police detective should look like. Thick, buzz cut, hairy forearms, snub nose, maybe 45. Vaguely resembled a Rottweiler. Not good breeding. Two clients. He threw me a nod.
You look like your father, Sheriff Stackhouse told me.
Except handsomer?
I haven't seen him recently. I don't recollect quite the same breadth of shoulders, though. You played football in college, yes?
I was a juggernaut of mediocrity. Sheriff Stackhouse sat down on the chair placed opposite mine, across the desk. She shifted to accommodate a pistol and badge clipped at the small of her back and crossed her legs.
"You played on Radford University's first team, if I recall,"
Buzzcut snorted.
"Never won a game."
He poked through the stuff on my bookshelf, of which there wasn't much.
"In my defense," I said, "we were terrible."
"I remember reading about you in the papers," she said. "I'm glad you returned home."
"Good to be back."
"Do you have a few minutes to chat with Sergeant Sanders and me?"
"I do."
She held out her hand and Buzzcut placed an iPad into it.
"I'd like to verify some information about you."
"Sounds exciting."
She powered on the tablet and ran her finger across the screen.
"You were born and raised in Roanoke, Virginia, played on Radford University's first football team, and earned a dual degree in English and criminal justice. After graduation, you moved to California and joined the Highway Patrol, worked your way onto the Los Angeles Police Force, was assigned to homicide, promoted to detective, got mixed up in the high-profile North murders, took a leave of absence that became permanent, briefly worked in a church before moving to South Hill, Virginia, and teaching English for 1 year. Came home last year. Couldn't land a teaching job, so you got your private detective license and contracted out to local law firms. How am I doing so far?"
"I was my apartment building's chess champion in California." She returned to her iPad.
"You are an alcoholic. You fought in underground cage matches in Los Angeles."
So in that clip, we obviously met Mackenzie August, and you also met Sheriff Stackhouse, who is a character which later in Alan Lee's writing career became a series of her own. Another great character that you're going to meet in that book is his alter ego. It's either Mackenzie's alter ego or it's his Greek chorus. And that role is played by his toddler-aged son, who, you know, Mackenzie kind of has put voice to the son. His name is Kix. And, you know, Kix kind of keeps Mackenzie August on the straight and narrow and makes him think and makes him ponder what he's doing. And it's just what a great character. Kix is, if you read some of the reviews, you'll see a lot of comments about Kix and how much people really enjoy that character. So the second book is called The Second Secret. And this is, as I said, where we're going to find out a little bit more about the secrets that Ronnie is keeping and that she feels aren't allowing her to be worthy of Mackenzie August as a romantic partner. So let's listen to the clip from that book. And before we actually get into it, there's a language warning here. We're going to meet Ronnie's father, and he uses a bad word. So get ready to plug your ears. But let's jump into it.
It was a beautiful late March. Temperatures in the mid-50s. The skies were clear and business was booming. Except I didn't want to do any of it. I needed a day off from photographing romantic trysts, searching for missing teenage runaways, and foiling insurance fraud. So I did what all trusty and industrious private detectives do in their downtime. I searched for new grill recipes online and practiced drawing my gun from the holster, Wild West style. Fortunately for me, and also for the client, I was sitting at my desk when the stairs creaked. Someone knocked softly on the door and entered. A blonde. She wore a white blouse with an exaggerated collar and one of those skirts which was already too short and then had a professional slit running halfway up the side. Red heels, no hose. She was perhaps the prettiest person I'd ever seen in real life. "Hello, Ronnie," I said.
"I am in need of a professional private detective," said Veronica Summers. "Are you accepting clients?"
"I'm your man." The gravid statement hovered, and the air became hot and electric. She inspected me. I watched her inspecting me. Both of us flushed a little. I almost flinched each time our eyes connected.
She said, "Mackenzie, I'm serious. This is a professional call.
Then you should put on an overcoat.
But how would you look at my legs?
I have a degree in criminal investigation. I'll find a way, I said. Close the door behind you.
If you're accepting clients and you think we can work together, I'll go fetch him.
Fetch who?
The client, she said. My father.
Oh.
You were hoping for a damsel in distress. One wearing a tiny skirt?
More like a damsel in distress with a bag of money.
He's loaded, she said.
And his skirt? Ronnie smiled. The room brightened. My heart nearly stopped.
Take his money, Mackenzie, and I'll keep wearing the skirt.
Bring him in. She went to fetch him, and I wiped sweaty palms on my pants. Get it together, Mackenzie. You're a grown man, with a gun. Ronnie and I had recent history. Though I hadn't seen her in 3 months, I pondered her daily. If I was stranded on a deserted island, and got to take one thing, she might be it. No, wait, I had a son. I'd take him. But if I could take two. She returned with her father, a genteel silver fox, perfect part in his cobalt hair, a faint tan, blue suit worn unbuttoned, white cuffs peeking from his sleeves, shiny deck shoes. He smelled of money and power and the awareness of it. The family resemblance was strong. He entered and Ronnie closed the door. I stood.
Not much of an office, he said, waving offhand.
Perhaps you were looking for a dentist.
I'm looking for a man who gets things done. Such men do not spend time on decorations.
He nodded. Fair enough. We shook hands. Calvin Summers.
Mackenzie August. Please sit, I said.
He sat. So did Ronnie, and she crossed her legs. I pointedly did not watch, which was even more difficult than turning down Kristen Payne. I believe she enjoyed my discomfort.
My attorney tells me you're good, he said.
Miss Summers is your attorney?
She is, he indicated her with his chin.
You've worked with her before. I glanced at Ronnie. She was rigid, anxious, and she gave her head a slight shake.
Not much. She referred some work my way, and those went well.
I need you to find someone, he said.
I can do that.
But I don't know who. I know that doesn't make sense yet.
He leaned back in the chair and picked invisible lint from his pressed slacks. I run a small organization, and someone inside is disloyal to me. I want the fucker found out.
How many persons do you employ?
He waffled his hand, which gleamed with a college ring. Looked like Virginia Tech.
It depends. Call it 50 in various capacities, only 10 of whom directly answer to me. For example, I own a restaurant. The restaurant has approximately 20 employees, but I only communicate with the manager, you see.
Well, there you go. I think that's enough of a teaser to give you a little bit of a feel of what those two books are going to sound like. And as I said, we've narrated the first four. The series does continue on to book 10. I really think you should check it out. Just, he's a fantastically gifted writer, and I really, really enjoyed narrating these books. Well, that's about it for this episode. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the While You Wait, and I hope that you'll join us next month when we come back with another author interview. And then the month after that, we'll do another While You Wait, where I'll probably tell you about another book that I think you might enjoy. In the meantime, please check out our website at www.scottellisreads.com. You can see all of the books that we've narrated there and listen to some clips. If you're interested in learning how to become an audiobook narrator, you can check out our classroom at www.serclassroom.com. It's an online video-based self-paced program that will teach you everything that you need to know to get started. And if you're interested in listening to some of the Mackenzie August series, As I said, I have some free codes. You can send me an email at scott@scottellisreads.com and let me know which book or books in the series you would like. I have a couple of US codes and lots of codes if you have a UK account with audible.com or if you have access to the UK accounts. So once again, thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you in about a month.